Dr. Paul Grenier, and educator and researcher, Prudence Tippins. Today's guest is certified hypnotherapist, Gail Nielsen. If you want to join us on the conversation, you can email us at wdrthow@gmail.com. That's wdrthow @gmail.com. Or call us at 608-638-WDRT. Again, 608-638-9378. Or at the toll-free number, 888-589-7198. Having a great desire to start this discussion, here are our purposeful pair, Prudence and Paul.
You gotta love that new voice.
Uh-huh. Thank
At
you,
least
Steve.
Some, one person in here thinks that's a sexy voice, but
be still my heart.
Welcome, Gail.
Thank
but
you.
Our old voice is just on vacation, so
oh, that's true.
We should mention hi. We should
it could,
hi to
how
Bill
long do we have this new voice? For 3 weeks?
I
right?
think so, yes.
Oh, okay.
I have him for a lifetime. Thank you very much. Welcome, Gail. Thank you so much for being here. We feel so fortunate to have you.
Oh, thank you for asking me. I'm really excited about this.
Oh, good. Good. We're excited for our listeners to hear about you. Gail is a master hypnotherapist with special certifications in the areas of past life regression, life between lives, and working with sleep deprivation. Of course, she also works with clients for smoking cessation, body image, performance enhancement, and relaxation. So lots of different ways that you work as a hypnotherapist. But you're also a certified Reiki master and EFT practitioner, emotional freedom technique, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you studied quantum touch and matrix energetics. So you have this multifaceted approach with clients that where you can include several energetic healing tools. And I know that you're a member in good standing of the National Guild of Hypnotists, the National Association of Transpersonal Hypnotherapists, and a current student at the American Holistic University, where you're working on a doctorate in clinical hypnotherapy. Is that right?
That's right.
Wow.
Sounds like quite a mouthful.
It's pretty exciting stuff there. Sounds like you've just got a lot of tools with which you work with your clients. So you have a lot to draw from. If a client needs one thing, then you can draw on that, and you can.
I do. It's a very individualized approach. So when a client calls me and tells me that they want to come see me for one particular thing, that's really not enough information. I have them come and I talk to them for 20 to 30 minutes, really find out what's really going on. And then I just determine, first of all, whether I can work with the client. We need to really establish a rapport, whether they're comfortable with me, I'm comfortable with them. And if we are, then I kind of get an intuitive sense, but also a left brain sense of which one or combination of these tools would be best to work with them.
Well, wonderful. We're going to have you on for several weeks, it sounds like. You have so many things that you can enlighten us about. But first, we wanted to concentrate this time on hypnotherapy because Paul and I both thought that this was something that people would really be interested in learning more about. It's not as mainstream as maybe just regular psychotherapy, mm-hmm. something like that. So, but I've been reading a lot about it and finding out that it really is sanctioned by many medical institutions.
It is. I think it can be used along with whatever plan of treatment that a medical doctor has or a doctor of chiropractic. It's really an adjunct to anything. As relaxation just in itself can be so helpful in just about any condition a person might have. So I really I enjoy working with referrals from doctors, from other therapists, and just helping in whatever way that I can fit in to what they see needs to be helpful for the client.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more later about the research that's been done in hypnotherapy, but let's start out by dispelling some myths about hypnosis. I don't want anybody turning the switch off because they think that hypnotherapy is something that it's not. So can we talk a little bit about that? About
we sure
the
can.
Myths? What are some of the myths about it?
Okay, well, the first one I hear all the time is, you know, my husband teases me a lot about making people cluck like a chicken or bark like a dog. You know, it's really interesting. I was actually just at some more advanced training this last weekend, and I was discussing this with the instructor, and he says, you know, I've been doing hypnosis for over 30 years, and he says, I've never once seen that in a stage act or any time. So he says, I don't really know where that myth comes from. I suppose maybe, you know, 60 years ago, people were using it when hypnosis was used for entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. But To put it bluntly, that's not going to happen. If you don't want to bark like a dog, you're not going to bark like a dog. I can't make you do anything that you wouldn't normally do or that's against your morals or ethics. So I think that's probably the number one concern that people have. Another one is that when they're in a trance state under hypnosis, that they won't come back out. They think that they're going to be stuck there. And that isn't going to happen either. Even if I were to leave the room and leave them in a trance state, they would just fall into a normal sleep and normally wake up at some point in the future. So that's not a problem.
Depending on how comfortable your couch is.
Yeah, or the chair, yes. Another one is that people are going to give away secrets. Everybody has things that they really don't want to share with others, even with their hypnotherapist. And so that's not going to happen. Again, that kind of falls under the number one concern. If it's not something that you're going to share, you're not going to share it when you're in a trance state either. Your left brain is not 100% out of the way in the trance state that we normally work in. So that's really not a concern.
Okay, so the Manchurian candidate, I'm sure that didn't do a whole lot for hypnotherapy.
No, I'm sure it didn't. And there's so many, you know, other espionage shows and movies where they show that. And that's not to say that hypnosis can't be used in like a long-term brainwashing program, but somebody honestly would have to be under duress and held for, you know, many days for anything like that. And other things would need to be used.
And you really couldn't make somebody murder somebody without them having some
there really has to be some kind of desire to go along with what's being suggested somewhere in the subconscious.
Okay, well, that's very good to know. Thank you.
Continuously throughout the hypnosis, or is the when you said that when they walk away from this experience, and because I've had 10 years ago, I used to do it pretty regularly, and I just haven't chosen to do in the last 10 years, and I don't know why. It just hasn't happened, so I'm looking forward to working with you, Gail. But I used to do it as a lazy man's way to deep meditation. It's just like, oh, good, I don't have to sit here for 2 hours. I can go in, get, boom, I'm in the zone, and I'd come out just feeling really relaxed, my whole body. The week would go much better. I was doing it, I think, weekly or every other week. And I was just doing it as a maintenance process. Nice. I don't know if that is something that's normal, which
I think it is. I use it for that myself as well. It is really kind of a time-compressed meditation, if you will. It is, you know, that is a state of focused relaxation. And the main thing is you're totally relaxed. And you're relaxed very quickly. You can go down, you can go past the alpha state, you can go all the way down to a delta state, you know, even into a somnambulistic trance, it's called, where you really can get the benefits of a long period of sleep or meditation, but you can get them in a very short period of time. So I think that's a really interesting use for it. I personally don't have any clients that I can think of that use it that way. But yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, the origin of the word is from the Greek word for sleep, right?
It is. That's where the word comes from. And you know, that's kind of a misunderstanding. Of course, we've stayed with the word hypnosis. But it really, when you're in a hypnotic trance, we call it, you're not really in the sleep state. You're in, if you were to look at a person's brainwave pattern, the brainwave frequency, when they're in the different states in hypnosis, you can see the difference. Alpha would be the very first one, would be like a very light trance state. And then you can go down to a theta, which is deeper. And then when you get into delta, there's a couple different kinds of delta. One would be a dreamless sleep, and one would be a dreamless state of sleep. So most of the time when I work with clients, I'm working in the alpha state, the lighter trance state, which is also a meditative state. There are certain times and reasons where I would want to go down deeper than that.
So you have the skill to actually take somebody to a theta state. Isn't the theta state where creativity is activated?
The ideation comes out in that state. That's really useful for pushing the conscious mind out of the way more, and it gives greater access to the subconscious mind, which is
exciting.
Really where we operate from on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. So we think, you know, our conscious mind thinks, oh, I'm calling all the shots here as we go through the day. Really, we're not. It's estimated that about 90% of our day is actually spent in a trance state.
Huh.
Which
already.
Is interesting.
This is a natural process.
Yes. Yes. It can be driving, watching television. If you're really interested in a creative project that you're working on, you're in a type of trance state while you're there. You're losing track of time. You're really involved in that. That is a type of trance state too.
Would that be called being in the present moment? Is that another form of putting that when you're really present, you automatically go into that state?
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's suggestible state, and it's also even deeper, as you were saying, Prudence, a more creative state.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So do you want to go into this a little bit more right now? Is this a good timing of the alpha, theta, delta, like what you would use those for?
Sure. What I do with clients, along with hypnotherapy, to enhance getting into each one of those states is I also use something called brainwave entrainment, which is it's music. It sounds like music if you were listening to it, but it has something called binaural beats in the background, which is a type of stereo recording. So one ear hears one frequency, and the other ear hears a different frequency. Mm-hmm. And what your brain hears is the difference between the two.
Oh.
And what that is, it in your normal waking state, you're anywhere from like 14 hertz on up to 40 or 50 hertz for your active state. To slow that down, we can actually use this these brainwave entrainments to slow the frequency of the brain down. As your brain hears this, it starts to entrain along with that and take you down into that frequency or that state.
Wow.
So you slide into it so much easier. And then I, of course, am there to give you the suggestion. So it just works really seamlessly along with the hypnosis and all of the other induction process to get you to where you want to be.
Yeah, I've heard that there's something like this being used in drug treatment now that seems to be very effective, getting people into a certain state and then having them, I think they're entrained when they go into it, and then having them maintain the state. So they're actually gaining control of how to stay in a certain state of
right. I don't know the specifics of that, but my understanding is it's a lot like biofeedback.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Which, right. You know, used that's to do the same about, thing. Yeah. But with that, you could your body would understand the feeling of being in a certain state, and then you could get the feedback from a machine that would tell you when you were there so you would know how to get back there in a physiological way.
Okay.
Yeah. So it is similar to that.
Okay.
So is this the brainwave entrainment, is that a form of technology can you self-hypnotize yourself in that situation?
Yes.
I mean, you can.
Yes, you can. You can allow yourself more easily to go into one of these states by just popping in a CD. They're commercially available. Dr. Jeffrey Thompson has a wonderful series out for just that very same thing. And what it is, you can tell right away that your left brain is starting to move out of the way when you listen to it. And it takes you just into this place. And one of the things that I used to do when I used to hypnotize myself and want to give myself suggestions, of course, when I'm in the trance state, my conscious mind is gone, so I'm not able to give myself the suggestion, is I would have a little recording that I would just start to play. And then after I'm in the trance state, the recording would be my voice giving me the suggestion to do whatever I wanted to do. So then that's effective for post-hypnosis. So the post-hypnotic suggestion, as you were saying before, stays with you as you go about in your regular beta state.
So can somebody come to you with what... for example, smoking cessation, maybe whatever message that they want to get in there. So you were saying body image is something you work on. So, somebody could come in and have a, you know, just start feeling better about themselves. And that could be the suggestion that you would put in their mind.
When I go through the interview, the pre-interview before we actually do the hypnosis, I really find out where the current image that they have of themselves is. Hmm. With smoking, it's a fairly simple thing, mm-hmm. anxiety. Mm-hmm. And there's, of course, addiction involved after the initial smoking, whether it's to look cool or whatever. Mm-hmm. After that, it's an addiction and it's anxiety. That's the habit part. So that's fairly simple to address. That's really kind of a standard process. Mm-hmm. But with weight and body image, it's very complex. There's so many different things, different aspects that feed into that, that I really need to go a lot deeper and find out, you know, where is this coming from? It may be under-eating. It may be overeating. Right, right. I mean, there's a lot of different issues we have around food mm-hmm. because we can't just stop eating.
Right, yeah.
If so, it would be really like an addiction that would be easier to handle, really. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you can't go cold turkey off food.
Right.
So, I guess in working with body image, what I normally would do is find out where they're coming from and give them some suggestions, but also give them a greater understanding so that they have an awareness. And sometimes the awareness of where this came from is enough to resolve it on its own.
Mm-hmm.
If someone in the process of the interview, if we determine that they only have a problem eating from 7 to 10 p.m. at night, then we don't need to worry about the rest of it. Why worry about, you know, whether they eat too much sugar or anything else? It's mm-hmm. just like, okay, we just address that.
Mm-hmm.
And with post-hypnotic suggestion, that's very simple to do.
Hmm. Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
We are speaking with Gail Nielsen. She is a master hypnotherapist. And the phone that was just getting off, I'm sure, was somebody that was trying to get through. But they called the wrong phone. They called my cell phone. Can you believe it? And, of course, I didn't have it on. Or it off, because Bill wasn't here to tell us to shut him off. Steve, that's your job. So the number you need to call is 638-9378 if you want to join in on the conversation, or you can connect with us through the email, wdrt@how.com.
It's wdrthow@gmail.com.
Oh, isn't that nice that Prudence is here to straighten me out. Appreciate it. Bill, we got somebody that's taking care of me. So, Gail, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So my father actually tried to stop smoking for years and years. He was a chain smoker, probably smoked 3 packs a day. This was many years ago before most of it was before all the warnings came out. But anyway, he ended up stopping. The only thing that helped him stop was hypnosis. And so he went in and they took his history and did a lot of post-hypnotic suggestion based on his history. And he stopped smoking, and his neighbor was so amazed because he'd seen him for 50 years smoking, chain smoking. And he said, I want to stop smoking too. Can I borrow your tapes? And my dad said, well, you can, but they're based on my childhood. So feel free, but you know, I don't think it's going to work for you. Well, it did. Actually, it worked for him too. So it was something pretty powerful.
Nice.
So yeah, so the smoking cessation. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that one in particular? I think it's so fascinating.
Oh, sure.
It's such a hard habit, you know, to break.
It is. And I know firsthand, I was a smoker myself.
Oh, you're so helpful.
Started when I was young, and I was a chain smoker, 3 packs a day at one point.
Okay.
And I smoked until I was 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time that I quit, it was cold turkey. And it was very difficult for me, but I needed to do it for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my incentive and my motivation. And I just said, I'm going to do it.
Uh-huh. So you didn't have hypnosis at that time?
I did not.
Okay. You just did it. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But I know people prior to that, before I was a certified hypnotherapist, my uncle quit that way. My brother quit that way. I had an aunt that quit that way.
Wow.
And it was so easy for them. And they were all people that had been longtime smokers.
Okay.
And they just quit. And I find that same success rate. Now I've kind of modified my smoking cessation program to make it even easier for someone. In addition to the hypnosis, I use the EFT along with that.
Okay. Emotional freedom technique.
That's emotional right. freedom okay. technique. Mm-hmm. And that is such a quick tool that I can teach someone. They can take it home, and what it is great at is eliminating that craving in the instant.
Mm-hmm.
So even if they do get a craving, rather than, you know, focusing on the particular color, red, or anything else, it's just like, all right, they get rid of it. They don't. It's just an easier part of the process.
Okay, so normally, with just hypnotherapy alone, you would have them focus on a color or something like that, and that would bring them back to that state of relaxation.
That's one of the post-hypnotic suggestions that I give.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Now you've got this other tool, so
yeah. I use them both.
There's
no reason not to use them both.
Uh-huh.
The smoking cessation program is 2 appointments with me.
2?
Yes.
You're kidding.
You'll quit after the first one.
I'm going to start smoking. Just check it out.
Don't do that.
It's the heart of wellness, Paul.
Right? That's right. Let's not promote.
I have a very addictive behavior.
I do, too. So it's interesting. I want to be addicted to the good things.
Yes.
So, yes, let's give me more of that.
I think Paul just wants to try everything out.
That's – and it's – seriously, if I'm very good at screening also the client.
Mm-hmm.
It's a common thing for people to come and say, well, I need to quit smoking. Well, do you want to quit smoking? Well, no, my wife says I need to quit smoking. That isn't going to be successful. And I can tell you that right up front, because the person has to have the desire to quit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this goes back to the fear. I can't make you do anything that you don't already want to do.
Okay.
There has to be an honest desire there somewhere for this to work.
Mm-hmm. 2 sessions.
2 sessions.
If you want it.
You'll quit after the first one.
Wow.
The second one is just there for reinforcement.
Okay.
So I've heard rumors that there's hypnotherapy that'll, if they drink their alcohol or smoke their cigarette or whatever it may be, that they get sick. Is that
part of this one?
That is part of it.
That is part of this, yes.
But the first part would be?
That's one of the post-hypnotic suggestions, and it's really, it's interesting, because what I also do as part of the first appointment is I have somebody do, while they're in the trance state, this evaluation. They'll take their lungs out and they'll look at their lungs, and they'll be able to, in that state, see if there's a problem. They might see where there's a tumor. They might see where there's discoloration. They'll see what the state of their lungs is, because our subconscious knows what the state of the body is at any point in time. There have been, and these aren't my clients, but other fellow hypnotherapists who've had people that have had lung issues, and they saw something and went in and got it checked out, and sure enough, there was a medical issue there that they needed to have addressed.
Wow.
So that is part of it. The aversion therapy, if you will, is that when the smoke comes in, you'll feel that burning your lungs, and you'll smell the smell of that, what mm-hmm. that's like. And in the trance state, this is suggestible. I mean, you know, honestly will smell that and experience that.
Well, it sounds similar to what happens when you first take a puff, you know, your very first cigarette. It's really repulsive.
It really is.
And so it's kind of renewing that memory, maybe.
Mm-hmm. The innate wisdom knows that there's just immediate rejection. It's
mm-hmm.
poison
mm-hmm.
until
exactly.
you get past that.
Yeah.
You got to acquire taste.
Acquire the taste.
So you're disacquiring the taste.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's different, you know, with smoking, the complex part of it, which isn't really that much because we do understand it, there's the tactile part, where it feels really good to just hold something, right? A habit. It feels good to put it in your mouth. And then, again, that's a habit. The nicotine part, that's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
But the nicotine is out of your system in 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So once somebody actually is not smoking or chewing mm-hmm. nicotine for 72 hours, after that, it's the habit that takes over.
Mm-hmm.
So the post-hypnotic suggestion is there for that.
For the habit part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so there are so many other habits that people have that they would like to get rid of.
Oh, absolutely.
So what are some of the other things that
Well, I got to keep on this one.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, Prudence.
That's okay.
So just to help people out, it's not, you want to stop them before they get to that, right? So did I miss that? Like how do you suggest to them to stop before they actually take the puff?
Mm.
So they don't get to the part where they're actually getting sick or smelling the burnt.
Oh, every time, part of the suggestion is that when they see the color red anytime out and about,
mm-hmm.
it will reinforce the fact that they're a non-smoker or a non-chewer or mm-hmm. a non-addict, whatever that is.
So they'll get a good feeling about that? Or
yes. And part of the whole initial appointment process is to talk about when did you start. Take them back to when they had the first drag off that first cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a communication where I take the current you back to the previous you when you first began smoking, mm-hmm. and you have a conversation with each other.
Oh, nice.
And the current you is talking about what's going on now mm-hmm. because of that habit and going back in time to prevent you from starting in the first place. And then we do a whole process where we remove the nicotine out of the body in a hypnotherapeutic way. Mm-hmm. So that'll help with the addiction as well. So all this is done in the very first appointment.
Wow.
So we address many different levels.
And coming back to the power of the mind. You
Absolutely.
Basically can create whatever you want to.
Yeah.
If you allow that to happen.
Right. When the conscious mind or censoring part of us is out of the way, we can do anything. Mm-hmm. The mind is what controls everything.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see how that conversation actually happens. I mean, it depends on what age. Does it matter what age they start?
No. They take themselves back to whatever age it was when they began.
Huh.
And they speak to each other.
Nice. Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. But
No, that's fine. I'm just excited to hear what other habits can get broken with this technique. What are some of the
things
you've seen?
Not that Prudence has any.
No, just, it's not about
again,
me.
Again, asking for friends.
For a friend.
Yeah, but name starts with a P. Oh, no.
Well, you know, I've anything from chocolate to Mountain Dew.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, I mean, sometimes it gets very specific as mm-hmm. that. I mean, if a person is aware that there's one particular thing mm-hmm. that is preventing them from accomplishing their goals mm-hmm. or from having a really joyful life, mm-hmm. then that can be addressed with it.
Mm-hmm. So it's like self-sabotage could be potential.
Oh, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. That's present really in almost anything. Mm-hmm. In anything. If there's a reason why, or if we feel that there's something that's preventing us from getting where we want to be, mm-hmm. It has to be self-sabotage, because where else does it come from?
Yeah, right.
So, in some form.
Yeah, uh-huh. yeah.
What about giving yourself negative messages or, you know, saying, coming up against the I'm not good enough kind of message? So that's a little bit less obvious maybe than drinking Mountain Dew or eating chocolate, but it's still something that's self-sabotaging.
Right. That's interesting, because that's when we talk about in hypnotherapy, and especially transpersonal hypnotherapy, where we address body, mind, spirit, mm-hmm. We talk about going back to where it all began, you know, mm-hmm. and from the time we're born and can understand anything that's going on around us, it's like we've got this tape program that mm-hmm. runs in the background. And we're getting programmed every day by everybody around us and by ourselves, mm-hmm. by experiences, with our perception of experiences, whether that's true or not. Mm-hmm. And those things can be reprogrammed mm-hmm. at a point later on. So by accessing the subconscious, we can take away that, oh, I'm no good, or I've never been good enough, mm-hmm. or you'll never be like this. Mm-hmm. And we can just get rid of it.
Okay.
And replace it with something better.
Okay, and so you take people through the process of finding it, finding its origin,
mm-hmm.
and then replacing it with something different.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing. Don't you think?
It is amazing. And do you get the same success rate? Do you feel with situations that are a little more vague like that compared to a physical addiction? Well, I mean, it's always more than physical addiction, but mm-hmm. something that you can actually be tangible with?
You know, I think that the rate of success is the same. The difference is with something that is purely physical, you know it right away. And the client knows it right away. Mm-hmm. It's obvious. Sometimes you need to wait and be aware of what is happening in your life, because the shift has been made. And sometimes the awareness happens like this. People have said, you know, I used to do this all the time, and the other day I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't do it. They mm-hmm. didn't consciously understand that. But when they thought about it back, they just didn't do it. So mm-hmm. it changed.
Yeah, it can even just change without even a second thought.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great.
Well, I'd really love to come back to that, talking about maybe somebody that's not creating abundance in their life and how that would work. But we're going to do that right after the break. And what we're going to do right after the break or during the break is – Steve's going to bring us an email. So somebody did email us, and we're going to have that right after the break. That'll be the first question.
All right.
Take it away.